let's take our Bibles and would you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter. Greetings from Crossroads Baptist Church. It's a privilege to be here. It's a joy to see the work of God here and a blessing to see these men who are prepared of God and prepared by their local churches and being sent forth into the gospel ministry. That's a wonderful thing. Why don't we stand as we read the scriptures? That'll help us to honour the Lord and His word and also stretch our legs. I know what it's like being on the receiving end. I know it's a warm day and you've already endured one message and unusually you have to endure a second one. So we will see what we can do with that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of opening the word of God, the God of heaven, together. Lord, you give us instruction, you give us direction, and we pray that we might receive it from you this morning, that these two men specifically might receive these truths and embrace them. And we ask, Lord, that you'd touch their hearts, their lives, as well as each other's life here through your word this morning. We thank you that the entrance of your word bringeth light, and we pray that your spirit would have liberty to work in us by your word this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to think back in history a little time. There's a young man that's he's excited about the things of God. He loves God and he's just a regular worker like you are and like I am. And he is a farmer and he's out there driving the oxen. He has 11 sets of oxen working in front of him, and he with the 12th, he's just doing his job. But, you know, inside there's just a burning desire to be used of God. Maybe you've experienced that, where you know that God has done something in you. You know God's forgiveness. You know how good of a God you've gotten. There's a desire to be used of God. And he'd been under the preaching of some good, solid Bible preaching. Elijah the prophet had been around, and I imagine young Elisha had eyed him off from time to time and seen a man of God being used of God. And in his heart, he said, "Lord, if you would just use me, what a wonderful thing that would be." And one day, Elijah came around to visit, and you know the story. And Elijah took his mantle, and you know, there's more than one excuse you can use for doing this, but this is a spiritual one. And Elijah took his mantle, and he threw the mantle in the face of the young man, and Elisha felt some sense of responsibility there. Thank you, brother. Elisha felt something more than the stirring of God. It was the recognition of men on the work that God was doing already in his heart. Sorry about that, brother. So he began to prepare. He began to prepare for ministry. And he began to serve the Lord in maybe a little bit more directed and formal and direct ways. He got involved in ministry, and he was a man in the ministry. And then one day, as he was out with Elijah, and we remember the story, how that they were going for a walk together, and Elijah would be caught up to heaven, and Elisha was with him. And we remember that as Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire, that God now took the mantle, and God threw the mantle down on Elisha. And you know, it's one thing when a man throws his mantle on you and you recognize the moving and the working of God and the burden and the desire to be used of God. But it's another thing when God puts that mantle on you and says, now there's a responsibility that you have before God, and now you're going to be moved out into a place where this is your ministry and you're called of God. And we have two men this morning who are called of God to go and serve in a special way, as if God himself threw the mantle on you. And the Bible tells us there in 2 Kings chapter 2 that this time Elisha picked up the mantle and he went on and he said, where is the God of Elijah? And he continued on in his ministry. I want to give you 5 points from 1 Peter 5 for you here this morning. If you like, there are 5 smooth stones that you can put in your scrip and your bilum, and you can take those, and when some great giant comes against you, you can pull out one of these stones, and there will be different challenges you have in ministry. And you're going to face giants of discouragement, and you're going to face giants of even God's people who will stand against you. And you're going to wonder if you're in the right place and if you're doing the right thing and how to move forwards. And I just want to give you 5 smooth stones that you can pick out, and you can maybe have victory over some of those challenges or those thoughts as you go. My timepiece was in my... Sorry about that. You felt it. Well, he felt the burden of time. 5 simple thoughts, if you would take them for us this morning. So I guess I've got about 14 minutes left. The first thought this morning for you two men, and if you'll excuse me this morning, I'm preaching at 2 people, and you can listen on, you're welcome to, but I'm preaching at you two this morning, and I want you to feel that, and I want you to recognize that. The Bible says here that we should exercise our office. Exercise our office. He says here, feed the flock of God which is among you. Peter was a man who, there were times in his life when Peter failed, we know that. And you know, it was just after Peter had failed, and when he speaks with the Lord Jesus, Jesus said to him, Peter, you might not feel like you're up for it. You might not feel like you're the one. You might not feel competent to the job, but Peter, feed my sheep. There'll be times when you don't feel like you're on top of the subject. There'll be times when you don't feel like you're on top of your trade. There'll be times when you don't feel like you can teach those people anything. But feed my sheep. You know, Australia has been some time now in drought, and we have a nation whose sheep are starving. We know that physically, but spiritually so much the more. God's sheep need to be fed. We have churches across the country who are itching the ears of itchy-eared people, but they're not feeding their flocks. It is not your responsibility to cuddle and coerce those who are not interested in spiritual realities. God puts on you the solemn responsibility to feed the flock of God which is among you. God says, I want you to give them truth. I want you to give them all the truth, preach the whole counsel of God. I want you to make full proof of your ministry. I want you to give them Bible doctrine. There's no excuse that people who have been in your church and your ministry for a long time have not heard good Bible sound doctrine. They need to be taught the truth. The seed is the word of God. It is this book that is going to be the difference in their lives. 1 Timothy 4:1 tells us, in the latter times men shall depart from the faith. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So much the more we need good, sound Bible doctrine. If you turn over the page in your Bibles there to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter is a challenge, and Peter says, again, he says, you people have heard the truth, but I want you to remember the truth. So, folks, we turn up to church and we go, well, I've heard that before, or I know the stories. I've heard people, and you've heard Christians say, well, I know all the stories. I can get up and tell the stories. I can correct the Sunday school teacher. I know those things. And Peter says in verse number 12, I want to put you always in remembrance of these things. Preach the word be instant, in season, out of season. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Verse number 15, he says, I want, even after my decease, for you to have these things always in remembrance. Remember, remember, I'm going to make sure you remember. He says in verse number 12, even though you know them, I want you to remember them so that you will be established in this present truth. You're going to give God's people spiritual food so that they will be established in the truth. That's your responsibility. Don't hide from good sound Bible doctrine. Verse number 15, he said, when I'm gone, I want you to still remember these things. The word of God will build in us when we understand it, a present connection, but it'll build a permanent conviction, and that's what you want your people to have. That when you're not there holding their hand, the word of God, as you've instructed them, can continue to give them good instruction. Exercise your office. Feed the flock of God. You're not there just as a face. You're God's servant to feed the flock of God. Number two, employ your office. Employ your office. He says they're taking the oversight thereof. You know what it's like when you're driving down the road, don't you? And you're doing 60-something in a 60 zone. And then everybody in front of you slows down. What's happening? There's a little white car on the side with red and blue lights on the top, isn't there? And so you go slowly through town. You know, it doesn't matter who's sitting in that car. He might be a gray-haired officer that's seen everyone that's come. Or he might be a rookie that just got the stamp of approval and he's gone out on his first job. And he has authority. You know, men, there'll be times when you're going to be there and you're going to be looking at somebody that's 30 years your elder, who's been through life and experienced everything, and he thinks he's all over everything. And you have the authority of God to lead this man. It is your, not your desire, it is a God called enabling, it is a mandate of God that you employ your office. You don't have to pretend to lead. You don't have to sidestep. God has given you authority, the authority of the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, the authority of the gospel ministry. Employ your office. So to Timothy, the instruction is reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Not because you're something, but God has given you as ambassadors for Christ, as representatives of Jesus Christ, the liberty, the authority, the power to stand for Him. You are God's leaders. Lead your people. We are in a society that is begging for leaders. And nobody will lead. So lead your people. Take the oversight thereof. We continue on. We read there, not by constraint, but willingly. Number three, embrace your office. Embrace your office. There are times when we don't feel worthy. There are times we don't feel able. There are times that we're just plain tired. You know, there are times when, people in your church, they have to go to work. You don't have to go to work. You get the privilege of going to work. You know, when I first entered the ministry, I worked on the side and I ministered because I loved ministry. I served God because I loved God. I did all those things, and one day the church said, well, we're going to pay you for doing that. And I almost felt wrong. Like, how is that right for me to do everything that I enjoy doing? I get to read my Bible, fellowship with God's people, go and visit people, share the God I love, and they're going to pay me for that? That's almost wrong, isn't it? And then there's the times when you get that call at 2 o'clock in the morning. And somebody is in absolute hysterics. And all the way as you drive over to their home, you wonder who killed who. And is there still blood on the knife? And what's going to be happening when I get there? You know, there are these days when you say, it doesn't matter how much you pay me, it's not enough. I don't do this for money. We don't do it by constraint, but willingly, as we recognize and remember the call of God on our lives, we step forth to serve God. Jesus was a man compelled by a call of God. He said to his disciples, I have meat to eat that you know not of. There's more driving me than what you can see. I want to encourage you that there are days when that dries up in your soul. We try and push on. We try and preach from empty. When the oil is empty, there's nothing to pour out. And it comes out as simple flesh. And when we've stored up yesterday's manna and we feed it out, it breeds worms and stinks. Take time to be alone with God. You know how you're doing spiritually. Don't be afraid to say, you know what? I just need to take time out. You say, who's going to fill my shoes? Maybe God will have to undertake for that. Because unless you're full, you've got nothing to give. Unless it's the Spirit of God working through you, don't stand there. Embrace your offers not by constraint, but willingly. Verse number two goes on, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I encourage you in this, not only that money is a trap and a pitfall that we can fall into, but I want to emphasize this, enjoy your office. Enjoy your office. Have a ready mind. Be ready to serve. You know, ministry is not about preaching. Ministry is about people. People need somebody that cares. And in years of ministry, I have painted and cleaned windows and chopped trees and moved house and done everything else and preached. Preaching is maybe the cream on the top. But enjoy serving God and enjoy serving God's people. Have a ready mind. Learn to love the people of God. I had a person just say to me, not from our church, but just last week, I feel like I'm being used in church. You know what? The preacher sees that I can do something and gives me a job, but I feel like I'm being used. And I want to emphasize this to you. People are not your asset. People are not your asset. Never use people to build your ministry. But always use your ministry to build your people. God has given you the privilege of ministering. Serve the people. Serve God by serving the people. And help them to serve God better as they serve and use their gifts. But never use your people. Enjoy your office. It's nothing better than serving God. It's a wonderful privilege. And number five and lastly, exemplify your office. Exemplify your office. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. You know, we can say, well, I'm the boss around here, and this is the way it goes, and then preach to empty seats. And husbands, love your wives is no different. You can say, I'm the boss around here, and you're going to do as you're told, and then, well, what happened to her? Where did she go? There's one thing having authority and position. There's another thing having wisdom of how to use that and the right spirit in our usage. Don't be lords over God's heritage. Exemplify ministry. You're God's example of how a home should function. How you treat your wife is something you need to be very careful of. You need to love your wives. You need to take time for your wives. Wives can get lost amongst ministry. Be neglected. Children can be neglected in your ministry. Your first ministry is in your home. Don't forget that. You're exemplifying. You say, but I'm supposed to be out there feeding the people. No, you're supposed to be there showing them how to run a home. Exemplify your office. If we can't exemplify that, where will our people be? We send them out to the front line to serve God and put them out into ministry. You be out there leading them into the ministry. You be out there serving with them. Don't you put a broom in somebody's hand without having a toilet brush in your own hand. Be out there serving God. You be a testimony of how it is to serve God. I'm sure that's the reality of what you are. But we don't lead from behind. We don't direct people into hard places. We allow them to follow us. We show them how to serve God. Exemplify your ministry. Just one verse and we'll be done. If we turn over to 1 Timothy. And I've got it written somewhere. Chapter 4. Verse number 6, we read there, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Teach them what it means to walk by faith. Teach them the principles of good doctrine. They will be nourished, you will be established, and God will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in God's calling. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the privilege of being servants of God. Lord, you know our frame, that we are dust. It is of your mercies that we're not consumed. But Lord, you have chosen to use men to reach men. And we ask that you'd take these two men. We ask that you'd enable them, challenge them, fill them with your Spirit, use them as representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring honor to your name and to bring souls to your kingdom. We ask that you'd use them, bless their homes, enable them to walk by faith, enable them through trial and difficulty that they might come forth as gold. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless their life and ministry. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.